Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you.
Hi, Jenica. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an author of young adult historical novels, and in my spare time, when I'm not reading, of course, I like to exercise. I try to walk and I just started doing cycling, which has been kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I love going to the beach and binge watching TV and movies whenever possible. Pretty much.
I love this. And so I got a couple of questions. So first of all, cycling, do you road biking or is it spinning? Or what kind of cycling do you do?
Yeah, spinning. I just started doing some spinning classes. It's been good. It's like sort of a learning curve like anything else, I guess, yeah. Where I had to kind of like, I've been starting off very slow just to make sure I don't, you know, hurt myself. And it's been, you know, I'm doing pretty good at that. Usually my go-to in the past used to be like go gung-ho and then and then you're in pain and you don't want to keep exercising. So I'm trying to be consistent and not worry so much about like going crazy.
I think you just have to build the stamina. I'll tell you, my first spin class I did the sin of going to SoulCycle and do the front row thinking, okay, I'll follow the instructor front row. You do not do that in your very first class.
Yeah, makes sense.
You do not do that. SoulCycle is very dancey move. It's like fun, move side, jump, you'll go down.
I haven't tried that yet. Wow.
It is definitely an interesting, if you go to SoulCycle, I would encourage you to go to the back row, you know.
Okay.
Start. So I was traumatized for that experience. I was like 10 minutes in the class and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And my shoes are stuck to the bike. So I was like, I can't even leave the class.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So I was like, okay. So I stuck around and then it took me about a year and a half later for me to decide to take, I don't know. I think it was an instructor that I knew, from another type of modality. She started teaching a spin class at a different studio that just opened up. It was a team-based spin studio. So basically you were all together in one team and you'll you try to beat the other team by your side.
That's fun. Okay, cool.
So she taught us spinning one-on-one. So then that's how I realized I was like form, posture, like what exactly you need to do. And I was like, okay. And then I started like consistently going to spin class after that. I did take SoulCycle again a couple of times. I did tell SoulCycle that I was like, I didn't like your first class. And they offered me to come back for free. Oh. And I didn't have a positive experience. So I complained about it because I was like, those classes are expensive. Like I don't feel bad about it. I'm like, if you're paying $40, you want to have a good experience.
Yeah.
And so they offered me a third class. And by the third time, I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
Oh, wow. Well, at least you know that it's not for you.
But yeah.
So good that you gave it a try.
I gave it a college try, but I like to spin. I have a Peloton bike and I like take like fun classes. I love the music. I love just to get out of the bike and just like do it, you know.
Yeah,
20-minute, 30-minute classes, and you're just like fun. So
that's what I've been doing too. I've been doing Peloton lately, and because someone in my household got a bike, so
yeah,
I've been able to utilize it, and it's been fun. I do the low impact classes. So
any favorite instructors that you have found that you like?
Well, like I just kind of. So I kind of like Bradley Rose. He's British. And just because I like his, he's kind of goofy, which I think is kind of funny. And then I also like the fact that his low impact classes are not like so crazy that I'm not like I can, you know, I can have a great workout, but not be in pain too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love, I've been doing their strength training classes more often because my bike right now wobbles. I just moved. So, I need to get a mat for it. But I found that if I need to just go on a tangent, I take Cody's class he just goes on tangents of the 2000s, like random stuff that you're like, oh my gosh, I remember that. And, you know, like Terrell, yeah. You know, he does not like Justin Timberlake, and I agree with him. Okay. And so he goes on tangents with that. But I really like Allie Love. I feel like I get my personal best with her. I like trying different instructors. I look at based on the music and see if there's songs here, and I'm like, okay, I can take this class, you know.
That's what I do too. I try to go for the music that I like, because if you're sitting there listening to music you hate, it's not gonna be fun.
It's like no fun. I want to sing out loud in my own home.
Yeah, for sure. You
know. So let's chat about like what led you to write historical young adult novels.
Well, I mean, I guess I've always kind of had an affinity for historical stuff in general. I love like historical movies and TV shows and books. Obviously, you know, even growing up, I always loved them. And so I think, you know, all those influences kind of made me think maybe I should write something historical. And so that's sort of what I decided to do when I got out of college. I decided to write a historical book, and and then that became my debut many years later. It was Dangerous Alliance, which was my YA debut.
I love this. And so you have My Fine Fellow coming out in January, so tell us all about it.
So in a nutshell, it is like the very short pitch is that it's gender swap My Fair Lady crossed with like the Great British Bake Off, or the Great British Menu, if you've ever seen that show. Mm-hmm. And basically it's about, it's a retelling of My Fair Lady, Pygmalion. And it's about a young guy who he's a hawker of pastries and pasties and basically what turn out to be empanadas, and on the streets of London in 1833. And he comes across these two very high class girls who are training to become something called culinarians, which is something I made up, but basically like the creme de la creme of the society. They're all into food, and they want to hire the best culinarians in the country. And so they're training to become culinarians, and they decide to take him on as their project, if you will, and teach him how to become a great gentleman chef. And then, there's a food competition and royalty, all kinds of fun things.
I love this. So what was the food research look like for you?
What did the food research look like? Well, so basically, because I did do research into the food of the time, mm-hmm. but because I kind of created this culture of of foodies, if you will, in the 1830s, I was able to kind of integrate a lot of things that we would know of today. The only thing I didn't really integrate was molecular gastronomy, just because I didn't see any way to make that happen in the 1830s. but I also tried to mix in like a bunch of different cultures. And the idea was that in this alternate Britain that I've written the book in, it's that they're really obsessed with like food from different cultures all over the world and far less insular than they actually were at that time period. So, it was great. I was able to come up with, basically just a lot of my days were spent researching dishes and coming up with things that would work. Mm-hmm. Like going to Pinterest and looking through what great chefs come up with as far as presentation, because I needed to describe that quite a bit. And then also just sort of letting my imagination run wild and come up with other dishes, you know, come up with like presentations that they wouldn't that people wouldn't even necessarily do today. Unless, you know, maybe they were trying to do something really crazy or really show-stopping or something. So, So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's like unique because if you think about historical novels, you think about, I don't know, the setting, you may have to think about war, you may think about the stuff with food. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Let's talk about food.
You know, yeah, let's absolutely have fun with that.
Right. I mean, I wanted this book to be fun. It's got some, you know, some themes that are difficult, but it also has, it's also meant to be fun, you know, sort of like you're watching, like you're watching the movie of My Fair Lady or the play or something, and you're sitting there kind of enjoying the spectacle and the, you know, the music in a musical, obviously. But like, I wanted to sort of have that same feel that it was something you could escape into. And since everyone was so obsessed with food, you know, while we were in lockdown and quarantine, yeah. You know, it was another extra thing for me to add on there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically, I feel like quarantine was like, you know, baking, like doing things in the kitchen, like staying at home. So definitely it's a cozier vibe. So I love this. So let's talk about books. Let's talk about book recommendations. Do you have any books that spark joy, like that help you get through this past couple of years, or books that you just love to recommend to others to read?
Yeah. So interestingly, this summer I decided to kind of go back into the classics, which I haven't really read a lot of lately, or at least I think since in the last, 5 years or so, I've been kind of, I'll read them, you know, here and there, but it's not anything I delved into for much time. So anyway, this summer I decided to kind of get back into that, and I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, but I was sort of on a Victorian fiction kick, and one of the book that really sparked joy for me this year was called No Name by Wilkie Collins, and he's mostly known for his like sensationalist sort of mystery sort of thrill, what we would call mystery thrillers, I guess today, suspense, and like so, you know, his most famous novels are The Woman in White and The Moonstone. And this one, I guess, was like sort of like down the tier of his famous stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. But it was actually, I don't know why, but this book spoke to me on some level that I haven't had, I haven't experienced in a while, quite frankly. And so it's sort of about a girl who, well, it's about two sisters who get disinherited through this very complicated situation that I won't go into. And then one of the sisters decides to just kind of go about her life and deal with it. And the other one decides to get revenge on the people who just, who basically made this come about. And so it's sort of like her revenge tale and her journey from being like a young ingenue into being this, you know, basically becoming a woman and learning what, you know, revenge will do to a person. And but anyway, it was fun for some reason. I don't know why, but it was, and I really enjoyed it. So that's my favorite book of the year. Random, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
I love this. Awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
Yeah, well, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is at Jenike, JENNIEKE _ Cohen, COHEN. And then my website is jenikecohen.com, same spelling. And yeah, so that's where I am normally. I've been less and less on social media less and less. However, you know, I've been back a little bit now since the book is coming out. So.
It's all good. Yeah. Thank you, Jenike, for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.